It's now time for Sports Saturday.
Are you serious, really?
On 101.3, The Game.
I know football.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models and specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Vermont Engine Service, an engine and machine shop, 16 Krupp Drive in Williston. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining a mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering to a 10-mile radius of their Taft Corners, Williston location. This is Sports Saturday.
Yet another missed tackle.
Living the dream and taking you with us. 101.3, The Game.
Good morning, everybody. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3, The Game. We are living the dream and taking you with us, as my guy Jeff Paul would say. I'm Austin Danforth. Jeff is out. So to my right, in the co-pilot seat, we have Lauren Reed. Lauren, say hello to the people.
Hello, hello, hello.
On the board, we have Aaron Wells, as usual, spinning the tunes. The ones and the twos, I just... Give me the public service announcement. You could loop it back. Yeah, keep it. Yep. I can't get enough of that song, ever. It's been around for 15 years, 16 years.
Classic.
Can't get enough of it. Yeah. Can't get enough of it.
So
interesting.
Good.
Guys, it's Saturday.
You almost said Sports Sunday when you...
Sports... Well, the weekends are confusing for someone like me. I'm working all of it. After today, this morning... The show. It's on to the individual high school tennis championships. Going to go shoot some photos over at Letty Park for the high school boys championships for the Burlington Free Press. And then tomorrow, obviously, Marathon Day.
Biggest
every
day of
year.
The summer.
Biggest sporting event in Vermont. Thousands of competitors, thousands of spectators lining the streets of Burlington.
It's always a fun morning.
31st year. It was more fun when it was at 8 o'clock, not 7 o'clock.
True. Very true.
Peel back the curtain a little bit for folks. That means if you're covering the race, you have to get downtown well before the streets close, well before everybody lines up. So we're looking at like a 5:30 a.m. departure from Casa Danforth tomorrow morning for the marathon coverage for the Burlington Free Press. And then Monday, pairings, high school playoffs.
Wait, where did that come from?
It's spring. I still don't know if we've had spring yet.
Like, it really feels... like it was just starting like 3 weeks ago.
If that.
Like, and all the weather we've had, it just makes it feel even shorter.
April was really March. May was sort of April. Like, how many nice days, like I was gone for some of it. How many nice days have we had in May?
Like three.
And today looks like it's going to be one of them ish.
Yeah, but it's supposed to thunder starting at like three.
Okay.
I keep saying like, I've got to stop that.
Yeah, it's okay.
I was watching a talk show of some kind, and they were making fun of one of the younger guests for saying like all the time, and I'm like, oh, I do that. I really should stop that.
Yeah. Didn't we go through this when we did the podcast for the Free Press for
probably,
a time? Yeah.
Probably. I don't think I've ever stopped. So.
And I know I am occasionally a like guy, guy. I tend to fill some air like that, but no, it's Saturday morning, 10 o'clock hour. We're here for 101.3 The Game, and coming up, we got a pretty good show. We're going to talk a lot of hockey.
Woohoo!
Big week coming up for you and Bruins Nation.
Oh, yes. The Bruins start the Stanley Cup Finals on Monday.
And coming up at 10:40, we have the best Bruins writer out there coming on. Fluto Shinzawa of The Athletic, formerly of the Boston Globe. He's going to join us at 10:40. And then at 11 o'clock, we're going to talk to CVU baseball coach Tim Albertson. His team just finished the season 15-1, locked up the number one seed again. Go figure. Mm-hmm. They had a chance for a perfect season Thursday, didn't quite get it done on senior day, but they are the odds on favorite going into the tournament, which no one wants to be in baseball, because high school baseball, tell me the last time a one seed won, and we're talking years.
Well, and CVU did this last year. They were the number one seed, I believe, going into the playoffs and lost.
I think it was second round or semis.
Pretty early.
Little rusty. I haven't brushed up. That comes on Monday when the pairings come out, and you'll find predictions in the Burlington Free Press website. Alex Abrami and I will have you covered for baseball, softball, and the lacrosses.
Woohoo! Yeah, that's lacrosses. I like that it's a pair.
That's next week. Lauren,
Yes.
Last week, and I'm bringing it up. We're not going to spoil too much.
Okay.
But it's got game in the headline, in the title.
We're on the game, aren't we?
We're going to talk about it.
Okay.
I don't think, because we sort of split up after the episode, the final episode of Game of Thrones. How did you feel walking away?
So I've told a couple people this, who we talk Thrones quite regularly. Actually, a couple of my coworkers and I went out for lunch on Monday and had a Game of Thrones lunch to chat it and break it down for us. But my main thoughts are, I thought the episode was fine. I wasn't disappointed in the episode itself, but I think my overall disappointment in the season kind of carried into it. Wasn't feeling like, I'm not high on that last season, even the last two seasons. I don't think they did a good job in wrapping it up personally.
Yeah, the one thing those two seasons didn't have that the other six masterworks did was time.
Yep.
And
there was
no reason. You can't fake time. Just they didn't want to have that many episodes go into it. Because, I mean, you look at the spectacle that they've built.
Yeah.
And doing that is literally maybe the biggest feat in television history. What they pull off episode after episode. So cut them a little slack there. I walked away thinking, for the groundwork they'd laid the last two seasons, that final was about as good as we could hope for.
That was my thoughts. Like, yeah. I mean, was I hoping for a little bit more explanations on some of the storylines?
Yeah.
Yes, but I wasn't going to get them. So, but I was I was happy with how some of the characters ended.
Yeah, the points that people got to over the course of the season and in the finale, I think were fair, earned. You know, for the most part, and true to the characters.
Yeah, it all felt like it made sense.
And I loved how the show finished as it started. The first scene and the last scene of the entire series.
North of the Wall. And I also liked that the focus in the end was, as it was in the beginning, on the Starks and their remaining Starks.
Yeah.
That was kind of a cool touch.
Right. And because for a time it seemed like it might have just been about the Targaryens. But
then the Lannisters were in there as a focus for a bit.
And everybody's in it. But ultimately the heart of the show was the Starks.
Yeah.
I'm sad to see the show gone. I'm excited for what they could pull off for some, I guess they're going to be prequels for the most part, but these spinoff shows, they have some promise. I'm psyched. Anybody tuning into 101.3 The Game right now, it's Sports Saturday. We're talking about Game of Thrones, not exactly sports games, but...
hey, biggest pop culture, say that five times fast, moment right now. I mean, everyone's talking about Game of Thrones.
It's probably the last time we're going to have a show like that, where tunes in as it happens, or millions tune in as it happens anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it dominates conversation for you know, the entire week.
Well, and I guess my last takeaway from the show is I really, really, really want George Martin to finish those stupid books.
Yep.
Because that was the other thing that I took away, was that once they stepped away from his source material, I guess, when the book stopped and the show kept going,
it became harder for them to do,
really,
and they couldn't.
Dropped in quality.
Yeah.
And so I want to see what he has to do with the stories, if he's able to finish them. Supposedly he says he's going to do it, but it's been a while, so.
Yeah. And I'm sad to see it go. I rewatched it the next morning, the last episode, got the feels again at a couple parts.
Yeah.
Because we spent a lot of time with those characters.
Yeah, a lot of time. And we watched some of them grow up, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the actress who played Sansa's 23 now. She was 13 when that show started.
The girl who played Arya, Maisie Williams, she was 10 when the show, or 10 or 11 when the show started. Now she's 21.
It's crazy.
Aaron, what do we got?
Jan in Underhill wants to get in on the Game of Thrones talk.
Oh, okay. Jan, how's it going?
It's going well. You know, it's a little bit of a different spin on the show than usual, but that's cool. I can roll with this. I'm into the Game of Thrones. I appreciated that HBO didn't do us dirty the way they did us in Sopranos, where they just left everything hanging.
Yeah.
We got kind of a conclusion, you know?
Yeah, I was a little worried about, for a couple parts of that episode, that they were just going to cut us off and kind of leave it hanging. But they followed it through and gave us some good conclusions for some of those characters.
Yeah, I did want to see Arya put on a face and take out Dany herself, because she turned into like the best character on the show. She went from, like, most fragile, most concerned about her well-being to, like, the deadliest viper in the whole cast.
Yeah. It, like, her, I think, honestly, her and the Hound became the two most interesting people on the show. Like, anytime they were on the screen, you didn't know what they were going to do. You had an idea, but, like, they were most prone to surprising you and entertaining you at the same time.
Yeah, I loved Arya. She's my favorite.
I'm gonna just twist it a little bit, and so I wanted to know, as it ended last week, who was going to lose their head first? Was it going to be Tyrion Lannister? Because I figured, like, there's no way he's not getting his head chopped off, Dragon's not eating him. Or Mickey Calloway, the Mets manager. Like, how is he not going to get fired? But somehow, just like Tyrion Lannister, he survives into the week.
Yeah.
I think that was my one moment of the show. Austin and I watched it together with a group of friends, and I was like, when the Tyrion part happened, I was like groaning. I'm like, he's going to get out of this, isn't he? How the heck is he pulling this off?
Yeah.
It was
the golden-tongued Lannister right there.
Yeah, he just gets his way out of everything.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jan. It was, I wasn't thinking they would go the route of the Sopranos. Because that, like, Sopranos, that makes the Sopranos a Sopranos, too, like, the way it ended.
Yeah, everyone complains to this day about that ending. So
I think the problem that we saw with this season and the last season of Game of Thrones, the way they left us hanging in between scenes, mm-hmm. like, the certain elements of the show that would have been fleshed out in previous seasons weren't. And ultimately, we got some finality with the endings, Didn't get Sopranoed. Aaron, unrelated to this poll, to this this talk right here we're having about Game of Thrones, what's the poll question today?
All right, so the Green City Garage poll question for the day is, who is going to win the Stanley Cup Finals? Green City Garage is a great spot to go if you need work done on your car. They are a environmentally friendly garage. The guy who runs the place, Chris, is an absolutely phenomenal guy. He always hooks me up. I know he always hooks Jeff up, and I'm sure he can hook you guys up. The address is 49B Commerce Ave in South Burlington, Vermont.
Okay. And what's the question today?
Oh, like I just said, it's who's going to win the Stanley Cup Finals, the Bruins or the St. Louis Blues?
Okay. Lauren, I think I know what you're going to say.
I mean, I'm going to say Bruins in six, but it's going to be an exceedingly tight series.
Not a gentleman's sweep like the Capitals did last week or last year?
I suspect one goal games throughout.
Okay.
Maybe in a couple overtime games tossed in. Both teams are so similar and the goaltending is good on both sides. So I see this being a dogfight. I easily see it going seven.
Yeah. You can call in if you want to, like Jan just did, talking about Game of Thrones. The number here is 802-655-6672. That same number, you can text the Town Fair Tire text line. It's 655-6672. We already got one today from Crawdaddy, who I actually think I know who that is. Someone named Crawdaddy. Since the Three Stooges of the Huddle are soccer haters, let's hear AD's Champions League preview.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is. I'm amped up for Liverpool. I was so bummed they didn't get it done in the Premier League. One loss in the entire 38-game Premier League schedule. They lose by a point to Manchester City, whose morality is debatable for that. I mean, not the fans, not the city, not the
ownership, right?
Ownership. That's a whole kettle of fish we're not going to go near today. But yeah, I was heartbroken that the Liverpool couldn't get it done in the Premier League. This is their chance for some glory. They're going up against Tottenham. Tottenham also exceptionally good team. But yeah, I think it's Liverpool's to win. They got there last year. I think they'll get it done this time. Aaron, you have any thoughts on the Champions League?
No, I don't know anything about soccer.
All right, on the line, we got Gino in San Fran. Gino, what's up?
Gino? Oh, no. He just dropped.
Oh.
Well, he was going to come in and talk about Game of Thrones. He was very excited.
Oh, man.
That's a bummer.
Apparently, we should make this a Game of Thrones hour.
Gino, call back. We can get to this after the next break in the 1020 segment if you want to call back and talk, Gino.
People are definitely into it. I will take this moment, though, to plug that, if I can find
my phone, I have a note here from Brady. The guys of the huddle are actually at the Essex Memorial Day Parade from now until 11:30. If you're interested in going and meeting up with them, maybe get in the car, listen to us on your way there. Check out that, and then you know, on your way back, listen again. We'll be around.
Yeah, share some dap with the boys out in Essex. 101.3 The Game is all over the place today on the radio dial and among the people.
What a weekend in Chittenden County. We got Memorial Day parades everywhere. We got the marathon.
Yep.
We got playoffs, or the end of high school season, and then the playoffs. Just busy, busy, busy weekend.
Yeah, and you're going to spend it twiddling your thumbs and looking at the wall and...
Probably.
Waiting for Monday night in the Bruins.
Yeah, pretty much. I might go to see Aladdin today, but that's like my big plan for the weekend.
And you said you saw John Wick yesterday?
I watched the first John Wick, and then I needed to know what happened to the dog, so I watched the second John Wick.
Uh-huh.
You know me, I'm not a huge fan of like a violent...
Yeah.
But it wasn't as bad as I was expecting, and it was a really good movie.
Go watch the third... I watched the third one in theaters last week. So good.
I'm watching it soon.
So
I'm very excited.
Good.
No spoilers.
As much fun as I've had in a theater in a long time.
And honestly, anything with Keanu Reeves in it.
Whoa.
Dude, I don't care how old he is. Dang.
Name Special Agent Utah.
Bill and... Oh, I love that movie.
So, Aaron, you're in for a treat. Lauren, when you get to it, you're in for a treat.
It's on the list.
There's more dogs in the third one.
Oh God.
Ooh. Yep.
More dogs to worry about dying.
More dogs to worry about. Yes. But anyway, that does it for the first segment of Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. We'll leave you with a little taste of Keanu via Con Dios. We'll be back after this.
Phone lines are now open. Call 802-655-6672. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. Jeff Paul is still on vacation, soaking up the sun elsewhere, points south.
What a slacker.
I know, right? Has anyone checked
here on
Ramontos? Is it still there? Has anyone, like, do we have anyone running quality control for our boy Jeff as he's been out of town? If you have, call in. The number's 802-655-6672 or text the Town Fair Tire text line at the same number, 655-6672.
Yeah, text us a picture of pizza from Mementos and we'll send it to Jeff.
Or bring us a pizza. That'd be fine. I'd be okay with that. Aaron, what do you say?
I would absolutely be down. Meat lovers, my preferred. You like meat slice of meat lovers, you guys?
I'm not a bacon guy. Been through this.
You're weird.
This is well trodden path here. Not a bacon guy.
Hates
but
bacon.
You could throw sausage, peppers, and onions at me, and I'm a real happy boy.
So like two combo, one meat, like two slices combo, everything else meat lovers.
Sure.
Are we good on that?
Sure.
Hit us up, Ramontos.
Yeah, let's go. although I did find, like, the thing is, when you go elsewhere, like, Canadian bacon isn't really bacon. It's really ham.
Yes.
Like, fatty ham.
That's why Eggs Benedict is amazing.
You go, like, recently in Scotland, bacon over there is still more like ham. So
why don't you like bacon?
It's just a little too fatty. It's just a little too everything.
All right.
And I'm a man of flavors.
Yeah.
But bacon doesn't do it for me. Just
when is the
doesn't.
Last time you had bacon?
I have it sparingly.
Okay, so once
like,
in a while you suck it up.
It's in stuff, and I'm like, okay. It's just, it's regrettable.
Okay, okay.
Avoidable and regrettable.
All right. Still think you're weird, but all right.
If you missed the first segment, we talked a little Game of Thrones. Sad that it's over. Happy we had it. We can go back and watch it whenever. Do you have a favorite episode, Lauren?
Not really. I mean... It depends on what kind of mood I'm in. Like, I don't like the Red Wedding episode, but it's such an iconic game. Like, that was probably the penultimate, like, amazing, craziest episode Game of Thrones ever did with the most surprise you'll ever get out of that show. And so I kind of like that from that, but I don't like the actual episode because it's horrible and I want to cry every time I watch it.
Yeah.
So, But I really like all the episodes where it's Arya and the Hound, like buddy cop.
Like season four?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I like that buddy cop show that they got going on the road, and they're like yelling at each other and swearing at each other and just threatening to kill each other every 5 minutes kind of thing. I just, those conversations, the two of them together is just probably some of the best acting we saw on that show. So,
yeah, I'm trying to think of my, like, so you were a book reader before you watched it. You read all the books.
Yeah, I picked up the show after I finished the books, and it became very clear that they were not coming out anytime soon. So
right. So I was a show, I got into the show and then read the first, I've read the first three books. What did it for me was the John Egret stuff.
Oh, yeah.
In season two.
Yeah.
That
was part of that Rush thing again. Sorry. At the end, we had so much time with John and Egret. And like the love that they had, and then at the end we were supposed to believe that Danny and John were like soulmates, but we barely spent any time with them in a relationship, so it was very hard to believe.
Yeah, I think my if I had to go favorite episodes, the end of season six was phenomenal.
Yeah, that was a good one. Hard Home.
Hard Home. Oh, I remember being floored at that. I remember we watched the Battle of the Bastards together. That was
See, as we keep talking, all of these episodes are coming back, and they're all so good.
I remember The Watchers on the Wall was really good at the end of season four. That was one of those where you're like, wow, they just did that.
Yeah.
The Hodor episode.
Oh, that actually, honestly, that might be my favorite episode now that I'm thinking about it.
There's just so much to unpack there and so much like emotion to soak in. It
felt like the final time that the fantasy element too was like really front and center in that show. Like,
and then they backed off it.
And they backed off it, especially with Bran's character, which is a bit frustrating considering the ending.
Yeah.
See, the more I talk about it, the more frustrated apparently I get. So I need to stop talking about
it. Okay, let's stop talking about it. Let's pivot. We're going to pivot from Game of Thrones on 101.3 The Game. Let's talk actual sports games.
Okay, I mean that's always positive.
NHL Stanley Cup Final, Bruins and Blues.
Got Brews on the brain?
I would go for a brew, too.
It's going to be a bruising series. I was going to try and give you an easier one.
It's a little early for a brew, but I'm not a prude.
5 o'clock somewhere.
Lauren, where's your head at? Where's your heart at? Where's your stomach at going into this Stanley Cup Final?
So, I am pretty pumped about the Stanley Cup Final, but my first initial thought is I'm actually kind of excited to watch it because as a Bruins fan, obviously I would like them to win, but they're going up against the Blues, who've literally never won a Stanley Cup. They haven't been in the final since the 70s.
They've never won a Stanley Cup game.
Yeah. Like, so
they got swept every time.
If they if the Bruins were to lose to the Blues, I wouldn't be 100% heartbroken. I'd be kind of a little happy for the city of St. Louis to finally break through. So I think that actually gives me a nice even keel going into it because I'm going to get to enjoy the series a little bit more instead of just being on the edge of my seat the entire time, like I was against Vancouver and a little bit against Chicago. But that was such a fluke that the Bruins happened to get there against Chicago Blackhawks, who weren't losing at that point. So.
Right.
So that's my initial first thought. It's like it's going to be a really exciting series to watch as a hockey fan because I think the two teams are super close. There's a lot of similarities between them, so it's going to be really close hockey. It's going to be exciting hockey. Edge of your seat, when's the goal going to happen? That one goal can make or break a game kind of game.
Right.
So I think in that sense, I'm really excited for it.
Can Tuukka stay hot after 10 days off?
I think he can. I mean, his coach has said, and kind of watching him and seeing him in interviews, he actually just seems overall in a super even kind of mood. I don't want to say mood, but he seems really focused overall.
Yeah.
So if it was the Tuukka of maybe last season, I'd be a little bit worried because he was so hot or cold. But this playoff, and even a little bit towards the end of the regular season, he's just never really left this kind of even plane that he's
just
on right
dialed
now.
Dialed in.
He just seems dialed in. Though apparently in this scrimmage he gave up 3 goals, but it was a scrimmage, so I don't really care.
Tell me the next time a scrimmage counts for anything.
Yeah,
will be the first time.
So did you see the pictures from this?
No.
So the Bruins just decided to try and break up the 10-day layoff that they had. They hosted an inter-squad scrimmage and they sold tickets for $20 to fans, and all the proceeds went to charity.
Oh, good. Okay, good. I feel better about that already.
Yeah, so they sold out the arena.
What?
Yeah. They sold out the arena for a inter-squad scrimmage that was like two 25-minute halves, And apparently it was nuts in there. The photos are crazy. It was really cool. And they changed.
Wow.
At the end, the Bergeron and Chara started thanking the fans. They had Cam Neely come out and thank the fans. It was really cool, like, images. And kind of, a cool way to break up that 10-day layoff that the Bruins are dealing with right now. So
yeah.
But yeah, so it was cool.
What? My team was in the cup final last
yes.
year. And I was a nervous wreck.
Yeah, well, it was the first one, too.
The entire playoffs. It never got easy until the very end of the final.
Yeah, you literally, even though they're ahead, however many goals, however many games, you're still convinced there's someone going to have to blow it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I was a Bruins fan. Obviously, there was a lot of heartbreak for me until 2011 when they broke through and won the cup. So I literally, until I think it was Bergeron scored like the empty netter goal or the clinching goal, I think it was in game six or was it game seven? I don't remember. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were going to win. Even though they were ahead in the series, they were ahead in the game, I was convinced that they were going to somehow lose that game. Like, I was convinced. And I feel like that
just
kind of,
mentally preparing yeah, yourself for the worst.
I was literally preparing myself for them to lose. And they won. So it was like this weight off my shoulders. And even to this day, I still feel okay when they're in these situations because I know in the end they've already won. That makes sense.
Yeah. You have to prepare yourself.
Yeah.
For all the eventualities you can.
I had the Red Sox, so pre-2004 had right. awfulness. Bruins, pre-2011 awfulness. And yeah. I'm a Giants fan. So,
Post-2012 awfulness.
Yeah, like, it's just, in all aspects of my sports life, I have to prepare in some way for disappointment from my team.
of all your teams that have won championships, mm-hmm. Which championship was the sweetest for you as a fan?
Oh, the Bruins.
Yeah?
I mean, I'm a hockey fan first and foremost. Yeah. So it will always be the Bruins. I mean, there's definitely a cool element of the watching the Red Sox break that curse and then building on top of it just a couple years later. That's always going to be a cool element just history-wise mm-hmm. and as someone who is a Boston sports fan. But for me, it'll always be the Bruins.
Okay.
And there's a certain sweetness in being a Giants fan and watching them beat the Patriots, but I will continue to rub that in for the rest of my life because I will never have another moment of that.
Okay. Yep. Yep. I knew it was going to go there. I shouldn't have asked.
But I mean, they're watching that game and that helmet catch, like, that was one of them.
Can we not?
Yes, we can, because you were asking me what was the most satisfying win as a fan. And I mean, I think we went into that game expecting them to lose and just kind of happy that they were there and then they pull it off.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of a different bag of worms for sports fans, I think. Any sports fan who's watching right. their team and expecting them to lose and then they somehow pull out a win. But it will always be the Bruins for me. That will always be the biggest sports memory I have. So
the year the Bruins won,
yeah.
did it feel different during the year than, say, this year?
I think there was a little bit more buildup and expectation for the team that year because they had the year before they'd had a solid year. No, they'd lost in the, they had a horribly disappointing playoffs
mm-hmm.
and it was, they kind of went in all in for this season.
Yep.
So there was a certain level of expectation that they had to make this count.
Peak Tim Thomas.
Yeah, it was peak Tim Thomas. He was on fire. It was Chara at his peak. Bergeron, Marchand was just kind of coming into what he is now.
Yep.
So there was a certain sense of like the management went on all in, so the players had to go all in, that kind of thing. This year, I think with Tampa Bay in the East, who were so dominant and almost no one expected them to not make the Stanley Cup final,
right.
There was a certain sense of, oh, they're good and they could push them, but they're never going to get there because Tampa's in front of them.
Yeah, you're not the favorite. It's
yeah.
not necessarily your year.
So, and they've played really well, and they've played well all season for the most part, especially after January. So there was a certain level of, oh, maybe they can pull it off, but there was no expectation that they were going to be the team at the end.
So if you're looking at the series coming up,
mm-hmm.
What's going to be what wins it for Boston?
Special teams and goaltending.
Yeah.
Yeah. The two teams are really eerily evenly matched 5-on-5. Defense and forwards, there is almost there's almost nothing separating them. Minus size. St. Louis is bigger. Bruins are smaller.
Yeah.
Which is weird to say considering they have Chara on the team. But so 5-on-5, they're almost too close to call. Tuukka, the way he's been playing coming into the series, is overwhelmingly better than Binnington, who has actually been very good. Mm-hmm. It's just Tuukka's been so out of this world that I think you got to give Tuukka the edge. And then the special teams for the Bruins have been really, really good. Like 30% on the power play in the playoffs, which is ridiculously high, and almost as good on the penalty kill.
Yeah.
So I think if the Bruins win the specialty teams battle and Tuukka just outperforms Binnington by a bit, I think the Bruins win the series. And I think that's why I'm giving them the edge. But honestly, it's exceedingly close. If Tuukka recesses at all and starts playing poorly or has one of his stinker games that he's had in the past, all of a sudden it's a toss-up.
Aaron, what are the early results of the Twitter poll today on who folks think is going to win the Stanley Cup final this year?
So right now, 60% are saying the Boston Bruins.
Okay. All right. 40% for the Blues.
I worry a little bit. I've seen a lot of stuff from fans and people I've talked to. I think people are getting a little bit almost jaded by the Carolina series. Like the Hurricane series, the Bruins were so dominant in it. I think they're kind of forgetting what happened in the first two rounds, mm-hmm. which is that the Bruins had to fight tooth or nail to get through.
Right. So yeah, I mean, that's...
I don't think we're going to see... We're not going to see what we saw against Carolina. So I don't know why people are so overwhelmingly thinking that the Bruins are going to win.
Well,
but maybe they do. I don't know.
We're going to talk a little more Bruins after this break. We have Fluto Shinzawa, well-known, probably one of the top beat writers in the NHL, covers the Bruins, used to do so for the Globe for many mm-hmm. years. He's now at The Athletic. He's going to come on at 10:40, and we're going to keep talking Stanley Cup, Bruins, Blues.
Best playoffs of the year.
Yeah.
NHL playoffs.
Don't go anywhere. Be right back.
Getting you ready for game day. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
You are so weird.
I have my moments. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. Austin Danforth and Lauren Reed with you this morning.
Hello.
Been talking some Game of Thrones, some Bruins and Blues. And who better to keep talking Bruins and Blues than Fluto Shinzawa, great writer for The Athletic, been covering the Bruins for a long time. And not only that, he's been covering the Bruins so well for long enough, he knows the perfect stop between Montreal and Boston when you need a breakfast sandwich. Fluto, what's your go-to?
None other than Country Card, of course. why else?
Exactly.
That's the highlight of the Montreal trip, is 3.5 hours after you leave Boston, you right down Main Street, down the hill, and off you go for a sausage shiner.
Yeah, so sausage is your go-to?
Oh, every time.
I'm a ham guy.
I mean, bacon for me, but we've had a discussion about bacon.
Okay. No, we're all inclusive when it comes to shiner allegiance. The best.
That's actually funny, because there was a point in my life where I was eating one of those sandwiches, those exact sandwiches, the sausage shiners, at least once a week.
So what was your, when was your last shiner, Fluto?
Well, let's see. I'm trying to remember if I made a trip. I think there was one trip to Montreal earlier this year, so that's a given.
Yep.
And then my family, we usually vacation in Vermont in the summers. So
oh, cool.
There's always a stop or several stops to Burlington and to see Mike at Country Cart.
So, yeah.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
Love Burlington.
So that last stop you made on your way either to or from Montreal, did it feel like you were going to be covering a Stanley Cup final this year?
Zero. I can't remember exactly what part of the season it was, but just given the length of the season, it's just not something that you consider, regardless of how well a team is doing. But I think just big picture, even then, it was pretty clear that Tampa was the class of the division, the conference, the league, and that didn't change going into the playoffs. And even if the Bruins were playing well, you think, oh, geez, that second round, Tampa's going to roll right over them. And then you get to the playoffs where everything is up for grabs when goaltenders get hot, when players get into slumps, and then Tampa loses. So, and then the Bruins, with Tuukka Rask playing as well as he is, they get hot and they go on a run, and here we are. So, no, it's not something that you think of as you're covering the team throughout the grind of the regular season. But once you get to the playoffs and you see how well they're playing, boy, that cup looks awfully close for the Bruins.
Yeah, so Fluto, what are your first initial thoughts on this Stanley Cup final, Blues-Bruins?
Well, it's going to be tough just because the goaltending is hot on the other end, too. Jordan Binnington, who's played in the Bruins system in Providence last year, he's playing very well, showing no signs that this is a first-year pro player. So can that continue? Of course. And then you look at what's playing in front of him. That's part of the reason that he's had results, is that their defense is very good. Petrangelo, Bomeister, Parayko, Edmondson, down the line, they're all big. They can skate pretty well. They have good sticks. They're physical, so they don't let forwards get inside on them. So that's really the strength, the identity of this team, is that they are very good about limiting shots and chances and looks. So that'll be tough for the Bruins to solve nightly. But you look at just the way that they've played. Of course, it starts with the goalie, but then defense has been good. They don't really limit, they limit a lot of the opposing looks. Carolina really didn't get anything going aside from a pocket in game three. And then four lines with the depth that they have multiple options. You know, I think one of the things you always see in the playoffs is that players will go into cold streaks. It just doesn't happen that a player can sustain high-end performance for a long time, and it's just going to happen. Like, the first line is probably going to go quiet one of these games, but the strengths of the Bruins is that they have so many secondary options that the depth is really critical at this time of year. So, like, it's hard to say that they have no weaknesses, but they have a lot of strengths.
Yeah, well, and with going into slumps, do you think this 10-day layoff the Bruins are dealing with, do you think that's going to help or hurt them when it comes to trying to stay in game shape and not go into those kind of slow streaks?
Yeah, it's really hard to project. Of course, the rest is going to help. I mean, Zdeno Chara missed the last game of the Carolina series, and we think he should be good to go for game one, so the rest helps. And I'm sure there are other players who've had injuries that are benefiting from the rest too, but there's nothing like live action to get that, activate the fight-or-flight system that these guys are all thriving on. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, St. Louis, they won in Game 6, and they've had, I think they will have had 6 days off, something like that. So there's not too much of a difference between the two in terms of rustiness. So perhaps early Game 1 we'll see some sluggishness on both sides, maybe more so for the Bruins. But just given the motivation of what they're playing for, like, you wouldn't expect that to last very long.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, Alison.
No, yeah, and I feel like a story you wrote recently about the efforts the Bruins have made off the ice to be better prepared, better trained, better rested, better programmed is really illustrative of you know, one of the, as you pointed out, one of the reasons why they've gotten back into the playoffs, and now, you know, they're playing for a cup final again. What went into that to peel back the curtain a little bit? And was that something you'd been working on for a while?
It's something that you kind of mull over in your mind in terms of being fortunate enough to follow this team throughout the stages of their development. But in terms of the actual reporting and writing of the story, it's been kind of quick turnaround just because of, you're not really sure about the playoffs, the cup schedule, what days off, how you can fit in all these stories leading into the series. So it was a kind of a short turnaround, but you look at the overall landscape of where they have been, what steps they've taken, and then more critically, how modern all of pro sports has become. Like, hockey has been, and the Bruins were especially so, they're behind. They didn't really have they had a one-man analytics department for a while. They didn't really invest in sports performance. Their practice facility was high school level for the last few years of its existence here in Wilmington, Massachusetts. So they're behind. And then you look at some of these other sports, football, soccer, they invest millions and millions of dollars into the infrastructure around their sports performance divisions, rehab, sports science, all that. So I think they really realize, boy, we're behind here. It's we've got to join this modern age of pro sports. And they've done very well in terms of investing and most critically in their practice facility here in Brighton, which is in this third season now, and it's been critical to the turnaround. Not that they hadn't had success before, but it was absolutely critical to what they are doing and what they hope they're doing. They're not finished in terms of development. Like, the analytics division is growing. There's going to be more data coming on board. There's always developments in the sports science and sports performance divisions in that field industry-wide. So it's sign of the times. You have to stay relevant and not fall behind.
So does it feel like a coincidence to you that they implemented that and they've been reaping the rewards this season, this last couple months?
Yes and no. Like, they've had success. This is a team that's been to the cap, that's had good players, that won in 2011, went back in 2013 under the previous GM. So you can't say that it's been completely relevant in that sense, because they were able to get results. But yeah, they missed the playoffs for two straight years. And then the first year that they opened Warrior is the first season that they got back to the playoffs after missing out for 2 years. So maybe there's something tied in. Like, it's part of team building now. Guys like to spend time at the practice rink before, after, even on days off. And perhaps that has something to do with guys playing for each other and really coming through in the team building sense. So, and the analytics, like, Bruce Cassidy, he has absolutely tailored his strategy, his message, his coaching, his beliefs, because of what some of the numbers have confirmed to him, just in terms of, for example, the clean entries with possession that leads to increased scoring chances. So, okay, let's defend the blue line then. Let's make it priority number one to defend the blue line and limit those clean entries. So it's all been part of the whole package in terms of improving a lot of layers over the organization. So it's been critical to their success.
So, Fluta, how big an impact has Chara made in the locker room? You mentioned the team building. There's been a lot said during this break about Chara's leadership along with Bergeron. What would you say the impact of Chara as a captain has been for the Bruins this playoffs?
Well, he's seen it all, right? Like, he's experienced everything in this game, even through the generations of change. Like, he entered the league where it was still... it was geared toward players like him, strong, physical, not so much speed and skill oriented, and he's been able to transition his game to adapt to this current age. So you don't do that without exhibiting the character, the inner drive, the motivation to improve and to become better and to evolve as a player. So once you see that as a teammate and see the hours he spends in the gym, the hours he spends on the ice, working and fixing the skating and all the mechanics that are involved to stay relevant, like, you can't help but jump on board. So from what I've seen and what you understand, like, he's not really one of those captains that's in your face and driving the bus in that sense, but he'll say stuff when it's relevant. He's very good about making it an inclusive room, one to say, oh, we're the veterans and you're the kids, please defer. It's not really that kind of feel in there. So he's been good about managing that part of the team. But I think his style is to lead by example, And if you're a young player coming into the league and see how hard the 42-year-old guy is working to stay in the league and stay an effective player, you can't help but follow that.
Fluto, appreciate the time this morning, and hope you're looking forward to the covering the Cup final and enjoy the heck out of it this next week and a half, 2 weeks, who knows? thanks for calling, and we appreciate the time.
Very good. You got it.
Take care. That's Fluto Shinzawa of The Athletic, formerly the Boston Globe, one of the foremost authorities on the Boston Bruins. Perfect guy to talk to get us ready for Monday night and game one of the Stanley Cup final against the Blues. You're listening to 101.3 The Game, Sports Saturday. We'll be back after this.
Get ready, because you're about to hear some weird shit. This is Out in Left Field on 101.3 The Game.
Aaron, what weird stuff do you have for us today? Oh!
the button press didn't work.
Oh!
I didn't press it hard enough.
That pesky button press.
Welcome to Out in Left Field, everybody. A sheep runs loose through the streets and headbutts a police officer. Police in Britain wrangled an escaped sheep found running loose on city streets, and a witness captured video of the animal headbutting a police officer. The Lancaster Police Dog Unit said officers taking their first call of the day were summoned to the city center to round up a loose sheep running across one-way roads. British Transport Police Lancashire.
Yep. British Transport Police Lancashire.
Thank you. Tweeted a video clip of the sheep headbutting a dog handler while evading capture. Now I'm all shook. Police say the sheep was eventually captured and the dog handler was not hurt in the comedy moment. If you have lost a sheep, it's safely in our custody, and no sheep or dog handlers were hurt in the process, police tweeted.
That's a ornery sheep.
You know what the British police need? They need Babe the Pig.
Babe the Pig?
Babe the Pig.
That's the
that's
fix all.
That's the takeaway. Yep. Did you ever see that movie when you were a kid?
I did, but we're talking 25 years ago, Lauren.
Well, it was memorable because it was a pig that was a sheep herder.
Okay.
Like, that's a memorable thing. And if they'd had that, then you'd be fine.
Somehow I'm remembering moments from like the 91, 92, and 93 NBA finals better than that. I don't know.
Plenty of our listeners remember it, but it went right over my head.
I do know.
Yeah, well, that just showed my age.
Some of those one-way or one-lane roads in Britain.
Oh,
like,
brutal.
It's weird. Like, I think this last trip I went on to Scotland, been off the plane for like an hour and a half. We're driving to some distillery about an hour and a half outside of Edinburgh. And all of a sudden, the directions take us off the motorway, off the side motorway. And we're going like down. It's like a country lane with hedgerows and trees. And like, it's expected that you just go 60 until you see someone and then you quickly pull over and like you guys negotiate past each other and then you speed back up and you're like, it was wild. And at the checkout counter for the car rental we had, it's like, you do know the roads here are a little narrow. And I was like, yeah, I know. And I didn't know it was going to be like that.
I thought you were referring to like in cities, the one ways, the mess of one ways.
No, it's
really
one lane.
It's one lane.
It's like maybe as wide as this room.
That's horrible. Because I was going to complain about like when I go to Montreal, there's one ways where people parallel park on both sides of the street. So it's really like a halfway. And you're like slowly trying not to knock off anyone's rear view.
No,
that sounds horrible. Just like flying down a road, someone all of a sudden comes up on you and you got to over to the side.
Right. And there's little spots where you can pull over and like get out of the way. But sometimes you get marooned in between those pull off spots and it's a different game then.
I have noticed that those roads show up on like British TV shows like it's nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll do you one better. I was doing one going through the moors in northern England.
Yep.
All of a sudden,
the moors.
Steep hill,
yep.
Curved all the way down with all you see is water at the bottom. And you're speeding down this hill into this little town that we knew existed was there, but we couldn't see it. And we're like speeding down this curvy hill and it was dark. It was night.
Oh.
I'm like driving like, oh God, I'm going to die. It was like a roller coaster. It was quite fun.
Well, thankfully you and I got out without being headbutted by a sheep.
We did.
And count ourselves lucky.
I mean, in the amount of sheep there, it wasn't odd. We could have
everywhere.
Headbutted by a sheep.
Yeah.
Why is it always sheep?
They're pretty dumb.
Yeah, like it's never cows. It's never goats. It's always sheep.
Cows you respect because they're bigger than you. Goats, there just aren't that many of them.
When they smell.
Sheep are just dumb. Like they like you go to New Zealand, sheep everywhere, more sheep than people.
Dumb.
And they're just like, don't worry about them. don't worry about them. But anyway, that's our daily dose of sheep talk. It's on to hour two, right?
It certainly is time for hour two.
Okay. Well, let's roll.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Sports Center time. Sports update time.
Bring it.
Old habits die hard. Sports update time.
Bring it. On 101.3 The Game, it's Sports Saturday.
Sports Saturday is back on 101.3 The Game.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
I think I'm here to just watch whichever song he play and whichever weird head dance move you pull out.
That's entirely how the show goes for me too. I love it. Every week I just marvel at the tunes he pulls out. Best bumpers. It's imaginable.
No one on the other side of this can see it, but the dance moves you come up with are as entertaining as
the music just flows through me. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. I'm your host, Austin Danforth. Joining me this week is Lauren Reed.
Hello.
And you can call in and join the fun at 802-655-6672. You can text to join the fun at the same number, 802-655-6672. Coming up in a little bit, we're going to have CVU baseball coach Tim Albertson. Going to talk some Vermont High School baseball with the coach of the top seed in the coming up in the Division I state tournament.
Will be top seed.
Will be. They've had a heck of a year. They got a heck of a story too.
Yeah. Their pitching situation is pretty crazy out of this world right now.
Yeah.
They got three guys who can probably go out and throw one hitters when they want to.
If not at will, with alarming regularity for the rest of the state. I got to see them play. Was it Tuesday afternoon over at South Burlington? Weirdest. I got there just after this happened. South Burlington scores the game's first run, stealing home with two outs on the third pitch of a strikeout. The runner beat the pitch to the plate.
Whoa.
To score. And I saw a picture of it. It was legit. That was the only run CVU gave up. They bided their time, third time around the order. They put across four runs, I believe, the sixth. Aiden Johnson, great three-run homer. Mm-hmm. Huge three-run homer. Oh, man, it was towering. Tim, who's on the line right now, I know he liked that hit. Tim?
I hope so.
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great. You guys, you did it again, 15-1. I mean... You guys almost like, I know it's not easy, but you guys make it look easy the way this run you guys have had the last 6, 7, 8 years. How do you guys do it?
A lot of hard work. The guys are definitely committed to what we're trying to do. But they work really hard day in and day out. And they're very passionate about what they do. So they love it.
And I honestly thought you guys were going to pull off the perfect season, on Thursday against Mount Mansfield, but they got past you. What does that do for you guys going into the playoffs?
I mean, one, it provides a different perspective, which is never a bad thing. Two, it kind of takes any sort of monkey that could potentially be on your back throughout off, which is nice. On the other hand, I think it provides a bigger drive to kind of try and finish this thing right to the best that we can and know that we got to stick for seven innings or however long it takes and stay focused the entire time. So it's turned into a motivator for the boys for sure.
Well, and Tim, this is Lauren over here. You guys have an enviable pitching situation right now. I mean, Storm Rushford went on that big run in the middle of the season. They have Ian Parent throwing no hitters.
Freshly minted Gatorade player of the year, no less.
Of course. Got to keep that one in. So I guess what's going on with your pitching situation, and are you pretty happy with how it's setting up as the postseason gets going here?
I mean, as you guys knew going into the season, we were unsure what our pitching situation really was. Having lost three main starters, obviously Ian was a part of the staff last year and did some work, but I think the emergence of Baker, Angstman, I think Storm's ability on the mound has been fantastic and has been a huge, huge benefit for us, and we're extremely grateful for the opportunity, especially with everything that's been going on with his life. Ian's been great. You know, he's worked really hard to get to this point. He's definitely doing all the right things. And then, you know, bullpen-wise, it's been pretty solid. We've got some young guys in the mix that are going to help us out this, hopefully throughout the playoffs, and it should be interesting. But it's definitely one of those that turned out to be a blessing.
And sure. Tim, you alluded to what Storm's been through, and I think folks around here at this point are probably pretty familiar with Storm's story. I'd written about it in the Free Press. Jeff and I have talked about it on the show. He's been the subject of some segments on local TV. But it's that's not the only adversity you guys have gone through as a program these last few years. And I'm amazed at how you guys just keep rebounding and keep doing what you do. And I don't know. Like, I mean, it seems like every year it's not just like the fake, you know, sports adversity that gets thrown at you guys. I mean, you guys lost a teammate in the fall for whom, you know, one of your standouts, Tyler Skaffelstad, is running the Vermont Marathon in his memory just tomorrow. How do you guys do that? I mean, I asked about the wins, and it almost makes the wins seem like the easy part, but it's a special crew, a special program you guys have there. And how do you get by? How do you do it?
You're hitting on to some emotional stuff here. I think there's a lot of hidden pieces in this. The guys are definitely playing for more than one reason. There's still a hard feeling with the loss of Paul in the fall. Obviously, many of the seniors and juniors are also dealing with the recent death of Clark Schmidt. So I know that one's weighing heavy on everybody. So I think everybody's got that different perspective into this, Austin and Lauren. It's just been one of those where they kind of use it to kind of say, you know what, we're able to do this today. We're grateful to do this today. But I think the other part is, you know, we're going to do this because they don't have this ability right now. And they're not going to have that, and they should be here along with us. So I think part of that is that, but I think it's just a matter of these guys get it. You know, they understand that it's, you know, you get to do this once, you get 4 years of high school, and if we're all lucky. And so I think they look at it as, you know what, today's a great day, regardless of what's going on. Today we get to play baseball, and that's the thing. You guys love baseball.
How easy does that make your job?
The job's never easy. having this group, they're fantastic. I mean, this is a fantastic team. These guys really do work for one another. They're a really close bunch, which I think is huge. And they've all got the same motivation for the most part. So it's been, for me, it's just making sure to continue guiding them in the right direction, trying to take care of the little things that come up along the way, giving them the ways to handle the adversity that they faced, and understanding that not only in baseball but in life you're going to run into these things, and more of how we respond to this adversity is how it's going to transpire for them in life, as opposed to trying to react to it and handling it, just having ways to handle it properly. So.
We're talking to the CVU baseball coach Tim Albertson on Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. Tim's team is 15 and finished the regular season 15-1. They're going to be the top seed going into the Division I baseball tournament. And I'm not sure if you've thought about this at all, Tim, but it's pretty rare that the top seed gets to win it all in Division I baseball. I think you guys were the last ones to do it in 2013. Actually, well, no, you were the 3 seed. I'm incorrect. I was looking at the wrong number there. It hasn't happened in a long time. How does that? In last year, you guys were the top seed. Got stung in the quarterfinals. How does that all focus the guys for what you hope are the next 2 weeks?
I think these guys don't want to relive that again. I think that's one of the major pieces that come out of this, is that these guys have had that experience, so now they've got to refocus and put themselves in a spot where they can understand that, okay, we got to play, we got to win our playdown game before we can worry about anything else. We got to get through the first round. In order to get through the first round, we got to take care of our side. If we do that, then we only focus on the quarterfinal. If anything major can happen, they understand that. So I think they're pretty humbled. I think they understand how this works, and they're just looking to play one game at a time from here.
So, Tim, I think the more impressive part of your 15-1 record is that you guys actually got 16 games in with the weather and the field conditions up at CVU. I mean, I know the weather doesn't look to be promising, I guess, for the next couple of days. So do you guys have a contingency plan to deal with some changes in the schedule, maybe have to scratch a guy for one day and go out the next day, that kind of thing? Do you guys have a plan for that situation?
Well, as you know, and obviously you alluded to, the weather dictates pretty much everything. So you never know what you're going to get any given day. You had told me we were going to get our game against Mount Mansfield fully in, I would have laughed at you.
Yeah.
we have a fantastic maintenance crew. They do an awesome job. The big thing that we've done is our infield has really started to harden up and started to drain really well. The outfield's never going to be great. And we know that. And I think most teams in the state have figured that out over the years. So it's always going to be a little soft. I think just looking at it is we've been fortunate enough to bounce here and there, and guys are there's always somebody ready to go. And everybody's willing to pick each other up. So when you allude to the pitching and things like that, we're just kind of moving along and just taking what comes at us and saying, okay, if we got to station things out, we got to look at pitch counts and things like that, we're conscious of it all.
And I'm not looking for you to give away any state secrets here, but if you're handicapping what you're looking at with the rest of the bracket here, potentially, I mean, a lot of flux still could happen. What do you, obviously South Burlington, the defending champ, you guys saw them Tuesday. You said it was the first win at South Burlington in quite a while. They're right behind you in the standings. You got the likes of Burren, Burton, Rice, Essex, Colchester, Brattleboro, Mount Mansfield, who you just saw. There's really no easy games. You looking at that top 10, are there?
There's no easy games regardless. Any team in the Metro can beat anybody. That's been proven for a long time. And the state does a good job. I mean, that's the fun part about getting into the state tournament. It's a one game series every time. So you go in and you just try and allude, okay, we got to take care of this. You got to come out and play your best today. That's what you're looking for every time. So there is no easy game. There never has been. If you look at the scores, there's very little blowouts when it comes to any D1 matchups. Nobody's really knocking each other out too hard. Everything's within 4 or 5 runs for sure.
What's been the biggest surprise that before we get out of this segment? What's been the biggest surprise for you this spring?
I think our ability. CVU-wise, has just been doing handle of the adversity and stay patient and trusting one another throughout. I think as you continue to, I think the bigger surprise when you're looking at the overall state, I mean, everybody's bunched up again.
Yeah.
it's always that way. So we'll get to that point and we'll see what happens.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate the time, Tim. Good luck coming up here next week and beyond. And, look forward to seeing what you guys can accomplish.
All righty. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Good luck.
Thanks, Tim. Yeah. Tim's team. He didn't know what he had for pitching, and then they go out and they go 15-1 again.
Yeah. I mean, with Rushford, they weren't sure what they were going to get out of him, and they've gotten one of the best pitchers in the state. I mean, Parent turns into the Gatorade Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
You've got 3 or 4 other kids that just stepped in and what can you say about CVU baseball? They just pull it off every year.
And their defense is spectacular. They gave up 7 runs on Monday, 8 runs on Thursday, 1 run on Tuesday. They've basically given up as many runs this week as they have in the previous 13 games.
Yeah.
Which, other than that, the biggest output they'd allowed was 4 runs in a 17-4 blowout against North Country. You'd say the tournament's going to run through Hinesburg until it gets to Centennial. But as he knows and we know,
Division I baseball, you absolutely never know.
It's flip a coin and hope you're lucky.
It's literally the only sport where I literally have no idea what's going to happen, no matter who ends up seeded anywhere. The 16 seed could win that tournament.
Yep.
Maybe 16
seeds a stretch, but
10 maybe.
You look further down below the top 10 seeds. Burlington High School, 5-10. They've won three games in the last week and a half.
Yeah.
And against good teams.
Yeah. Well, and especially when you consider Vermont weather. I mean, it could all of a sudden a rainy day knocks the schedule off and knocks a team's pitching off and it opens the door for maybe one of those lower seeds to step in, because I mean the weather is a big factor in baseball and softball.
Yep.
So you never really know what's going to happen.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk maybe a little more high school sports.
Yeah, we got some other sports.
I don't think we're done talking high school sports today, guys. It's a big time of year. Maybe get your probe the Stanley Cup waters one more time.
I can chat about Bruins all day.
I know you can. That's on Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. Back after this.
Another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
We're back on Sports Saturday. This segment's brought to you by Vermont Engine Services. They've been in business since 1985. They're located at 16 Krupp Drive in Williston. You can dial them up at 802-863-2326. 326, that's like my birthday. Wow. And you can find them online at www.vermontengine.com or on Facebook. They're open 7:30 to 5, Monday to Friday. Saturdays, 8 to noon. They're an engine machine shop doing engine rebuilding, boring and honing of cylinders, crankshaft grinding, head rebuilding, engine balancing, turn brake drums and rotors, flywheel resurfacing. You can get mowers there too. They sell Dixie Chopper and Grasshopper zero turn mowers. Incredible deals. So head on over there for your Dixie Choppers. That's Vermont Engine Services in Williston.
Love me some crankshaft grinding.
I know. And that's what they tell me about you too. It's like the top line on your resume. Kid loves crankshaft grinding.
God.
But yeah, I don't have a lawn. Do you have a lawn? You got a mow?
Yes, I do.
At the parents' house?
Got the old hand mower.
Yeah.
Oh,
sucks.
One of those like.
So you
really
could use a zero turn.
Oh, no. My buddy actually has one of those though. Oh. He still uses it.
Nope. My dad used to use one of those. He loved it because it cut the lawn better, apparently. I don't know. I don't have a lawn, so.
Mine's the very next step up. The engine block doesn't really do a whole lot for you except add weight.
Not self-propelled?
No.
Oh, yeah. You guys, it's time for an upgrade.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh. So, we talked last week, breaking news on the show, with the lightly breaking news, sprained news, with the ceremonial groundbreaking for the renovations up at the UVM Athletic Center, the Tarrant Center going, I don't know if they started digging this week, but it's imminent.
Well, technically they started digging last week when they put the shovels in the ground, but that doesn't, what
it wasn't
do a heck of
really
a whole
in
lot.
The ground. It was dirt on the ground that they put shovels
but
in.
But they did dig something.
They captured the spirit of it.
Sort of.
But the guys on the huddle this week, they were talking, about which team needs the upgraded facility more. You got basketball. They're stuck in Patrick Gym.
Nah.
Oversized high school gym. Cramped bleachers. No extra space.
Yeah, very uncomfortable bleachers, by the way.
Yeah, and I don't even have to sit in them anymore. But when I do, I'm like, man, press row is nice.
Thank goodness for Anthony Lamb making you forget about your numb butt after a while. You're like... Yeah. Watching him play, and then you remember, oh yeah, I can't feel anything below my belt.
Right.
Because these wooden benches are just like cutting my circulation off.
But the seats are great on press row. I'm not complaining about that.
No, I don't know if you can get better views in press row than Patrick Gym.
And you don't lose feeling in your lower extremities.
No.
But
you don't have to dodge basketball players once in a while. But
yes, we have. I almost got wiped out at the Final Four 2 years ago. Lauren was sitting right next to, or standing right behind me, I think. Yeah. Missisquoi kid comes over the barrier to try to save a ball. almost wrecked my laptop.
Oh yeah, it was really close.
Like he, it
really
was. We're close. Talking like 4 inches away from just destroying my Mac.
Which in that case, somebody at Mount Cisco is getting a phone call.
The tricky thing with the press row is halftime or any other time, the people behind you have to file out right behind you. So like, once the game's over, if we need to get out, like I have to climb up over the press barrier and onto the court. Otherwise, I'm like trying to back up. I need like the truck beeper just to not like take someone down as they're trying to file out. There's no room.
You got a guy behind you like flagging.
Exactly. We could use that.
I make some eye contact with like someone who looks nice in the crowd. And then I'm kind of like, can I?
You just start saying sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And
sorry,
they usually like get it. They usually get it. But it does take a minute.
And like, sure. You should see the mad dash my boy Alex Abrami has to do if he needs to go to the bathroom, like during the game or like at halftime, because there's the bathroom for everybody.
Yeah.
And everybody's trying to go.
Or you go to the secret one, which isn't really a secret. It's just fans can't technically go to it.
Right. It's harder to find. But Anyway, like that's harder to get to, harder to find. Terrence Center is going to fix that. A lot of these problems. The Top Fed Bowl is a wonder. Compared to Patrick Jim. On the flip side, they're going to basically keep Gutterson at more or less as is, the famous vaulted ceiling. I'd love to know how much that cost to build all that wood up there.
Well, when was it built?
Originally in the 60s.
Yeah,
and then
so
they extended it in like the late 80s, early 90s. I think It was late 80s. They're going to basically keep that. They're going to blow out one wall to extend it and move the flip the sides for the press boxes. They're going to have the skybox like concourse between the gym and the rink. But the question the guys had on the huddle this week was, which team needs their new facility more, hockey or basketball? Lauren, go.
Hockey. I mean, right now, despite the issues with Patrick Jim, I get it. It's small. It's tough. But it creates a great crowd experience and the team wins. So By virtue of the fact that the team is winning, hockey needs it more because they are not winning. They're not attracting the top recruits that basketball already is because of their records. So they need better facilities. They need that modern, more modern, I guess, than it is now, facility to at least put themselves in the running with some of these top recruits, because it's knocking them out right now. It is. And they're not going to win in the Hockey East with BU and BC and all these teams that are pulling in the best recruits in the country without a facility that's going to attract them.
How about Gutterson and a little puck luck? They haven't had much the last couple of years.
You make your own luck, and they're not making it right now with their rosters.
Does skill make luck, or does effort make luck?
Both.
Okay.
They're not putting in the effort on the ice. And they don't have the skill to keep up with the rest of Hockey East right now. The only thing that saved their bacon the last two seasons is the fact that they somehow found a goalie that's standing on their head.
Mm-hmm.
Like both seasons, they've got a goaltending
Stefano
performance.
Stefano Slekas, yeah.
Yeah, who is just keeping them in games. They honestly shouldn't be in half of those games.
Yeah.
And so I think that's unfortunately a problem of both. They don't have the skill to keep up, and they're not putting the effort in to make up for the lack of skill.
I think as a venue, though, Gutterson is
Gutterson has a
better.
Nostalgia, cool.
Well, it's bigger. There's just enough more room. It's just easy enough to get around. It didn't hold them back when they were making NCAA tournaments, and I don't think that much has changed since then.
It's not the ice surface and the playing surface and the fan experience necessarily. It's the training experience. They don't have a good weight room because it's however long old. They don't have good, as we were talking about with Fluto earlier, the Bruins put all that money into building a beautiful practice facility because they were behind. The UVM has the same problem. They have an old practice facility. That's where the players spend the majority of their time. And right now it's not up to snuff. It's not good enough. And I think that's what they're basing, not necessarily the playing surface. It's the back end stuff that they need every day other than game day.
The training experience, though, hasn't held back the soccer team, hasn't held back the basketball team.
Yeah, but soccer and basketball, they're just not as big. And when you go to places like Northeastern, you go to BU, you go to BC, they have these multi-million dollar facilities with top-end training facilities. UVM doesn't have that, and that's what those kids who are coming in are expecting. And if they don't get it, they're like, well, why would I go here? Your weight room is 60 years old.
The weight room, they've upgraded a little bit recently. It's much better than it was.
Yeah, but that's not saying much.
But yeah. Okay. I see where you land on that. Aaron, what do you got?
Well, I think it's all a matter of your mindset. Because like we've talked about, I think fans like both facilities, even with their flaws. I think Patrick's a beloved place and the Gut is beloved as well. So it is more about bringing in the new recruits with better training facilities and a venue that makes them feel like they're going to be kind of under the spotlight and making a name for themselves. But the question then is, do you feel like you need to get your hockey team out of their rut, or do you feel like you have a hot hand in your basketball team and you should do everything you can to help them ascend? Because if UVM takes another step up, they become one of those teams that isn't a Kansas City or a Louisville, but is consistently a tournament team in everyone's mind just going into the next season, like every year. Is that more important than getting your hockey team back to where they should be?
I fall into the camp of the ceiling is higher for basketball. It's not easy to climb to the ceiling, but the ceiling is higher. I think hockey, it didn't hurt them in the past. You just have to be able to get or find those players that can lift a program. Basketball, for the longest time, there was a tremendous distance between UVM and, you know, the top half of Division I. UVM is solidly in that now. They're solidly in the top 100 programs in America year after year.
They totally are. But if you're talking about what the ceiling is, its ceiling's a national championship, right?
No.
Because a national championship, if UVM is good, is in their sights. A national
for hockey. Yeah.
A national championship will never be in University of Vermont's sights.
For basketball.
Not for basketball. So
I look at it exposure wise.
Okay.
I think if you're going through two weekends of the, like if you can get to that second weekend of the NCAA tournament with the basketball team, that's the equivalent of a Frozen Four run for the hockey team. I like just the exposure of the sport. There's 61 or 59 nice. Division One. There's basically 60.
God.
Division One men's hockey teams. There's 360 Division One basketball teams. The exposure, the television contracts for basketball show how much bigger it is nationally than hockey.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I just think it's really sad that we're talking about a college sport where athletes aren't paid in terms of exposure and money and TV. We're not talking about it in terms of playing and national championships and experience.
It's manageable.
It's sad to me that that's what NCAA basketball has become.
Well,
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm totally agreeing with you. Like, I just think it's sad.
What do you got, Aaron?
Well, I totally agree that it's sad, and we see that in all the NCAA sports. But I will say that it's not the advantage or the experience they deserve, these kids, but they do, because of all the money that's around the NCAA tournament, get a really special experience even in the first round as a 16 seed or a 13 seed. You're like, you're in one of the biggest sporting events.
You're treated at the same as the one seed.
Yeah.
For as long as you're in the tournament.
Eyes are on you. People care. There's like betting money on you, on what you're going to do. And you can be a team from a mid-major school that normally, like, you know, a handful of people are watching your games outside of the stadium on like a live stream somewhere. And then all of a sudden you're on national TV.
Who knew Loyola Chicago 2 years ago before they got to the Final Four?
Oh, nobody.
Yeah.
So like that is an opportunity. Those guys are so talented and incredible at what they do. They deserve better. Mm-hmm. They're never going to get it though.
But yeah. I think that's what's set.
I think that's a different discussion for a different day.
Oh, yeah, it totally is, but it just got me down a track.
But yeah. So now 100% agree.
But point I'm trying to make is by the time UVM makes the Division I hockey tournament, there's 15 other teams. They're basically in the top quarter of Division I, or slightly more than the top quarter, top 30% of Division I. Likewise, the basketball team, you make the field of 68, you're in the top quarter. So once the levels you have to go past to progress in basketball are greater than hockey.
Yeah, I just hope that, I mean, we're talking about the facility and making it better. But I mean, I think Becker's brought this point up, is he doesn't want to lose that that game day experience that small gym brings.
Right, which is why they did the right thing with this plan.
Yeah. No, and I hope it works. I'm sure it will work. I mean, fans will pack that gym because that team is successful. So it's going to be a similar experience. But I think even with it being a little older, I think that almost balances out for the basketball players because it brings such an experience for them with the fans on top of them screaming, yelling. It affects the game sometimes,
yeah.
I think.
And that would be the case for this the Terrence Center. The renderings look really cool.
Yeah, no, and I think it will be the same experience, but I think that's one of the reasons I'm saying like it might be bigger deal for hockey than it is for basketball, because some of that old gym is balanced out a little bit by the experience that it brings.
Yeah.
Whereas with hockey, because it's such a large rink no matter what, it doesn't quite have the same effect,
but it gets loud.
It gets very loud.
But
because they've been so not great the last few years, it hasn't gotten very loud.
No, yet. when it probably the loudest it got this year was for the high school championship.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And quite like unless UVM's really good, that is the case. Like mm-hmm.
I think both programs need this new facility either way.
Agreed, and the women's programs as well.
Yes,
but
they're slowly getting there, but they need a little bit of extra oomph.
Yeah. 6,000 seats. They'd have to be really good, really, really good, and get like Duke in town or something, like to fill a 6,000 seat. Like just the fact that it takes them as long as it does getting into the season to start selling out games.
Mm-hmm.
The ceiling like that, they wouldn't be able to fill it enough. And you want a full room. However big your room is, you want it full.
Yeah. It's a better experience, both players and fans, when it's full.
It's not fun to play or be in a room when it's dressed like a chair night and you're looking at empty seats.
Yeah. Well, was it when the women's hockey team the last couple of years, they've done the fill a rink thing?
Pack the gut, yeah.
Pack the gut. I went to one of those, I think 2 years ago, and it was really fun.
Yeah.
Because they actually had people in the seats and it was like almost full for a women's hockey game, which is pretty impressive. I mean, Burlington, if anywhere, is going to fill it, but... It makes it different. So hopefully this new arena will kind of spur some excitement and get more people in the seats, at least to start to kind of kickstart a little bit of excitement for
yeah.
other players.
Agreed.
Yeah. I think sticking with around 3,000 is a really strong call for Patrick, because the reputation is that when it's packed, the fans are so rambunctious that it feels like you're in like a big coliseum. It's intense. It's hard.
It's cramped. It's yeah. like it. Just, it yeah. The room is full of sound.
Opposing players and unfortunately the refs also feel like the fans are breathing down your neck. Like they are right behind you. They are calling you on every little thing that doesn't go your way or that does go your way, and they don't think it should have. And that is like an actual competitive advantage. So keeping that's really important.
And yeah. it's supply and demand. It's economics. Like the tougher the ticket, the more people are going to want it.
And it's Burlington. It's not that big.
Right, right, right. And if you make it the idea is you make it less daunting for people to come, make it a more comfortable experience. You might attract more people from elsewhere. Like you might get more people to come from Rutland for a game, or St. Jay to like dabble in a game, or Montpelier. Pick a town an hour away.
None of them are far away. Not
right.
far enough away.
I know. I know. My old man would come to more games from the Castleton area. Like if it wasn't, you know, you put the schlep on top of okay, parking and getting out of there is going to be a mess. You got the people that leave with 5 minutes to go because they just want to get home. But like also probably they can't feel their butt. So like there's a lot of things working against them, but yeah, it's going to once it a long time coming when the digging starts happening. That's going to be really cool.
It will be really exciting to see.
Aaron, what's the poll looking like? We were talking Bruins and Blues for the Stanley Cup final earlier. Had Fluto Shinzawa on from The Athletic, and the poll question is, who do you think is going to win?
Yeah, that's the Green City Garage poll question, and right now we're at 78% Boston Bruins.
That tracks.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah,
I think they're
The 22% are probably Canadiens fans, right?
Yeah, probably. Or Maple Leafs just chiming in because they're still so bitter about losing that first round.
Super salty.
Oh.
We did get our Canadian listeners yesterday on the huddle coming in and telling us we were all underestimating the St. Louis Blues and that we should look out. And, oh, I hope that they crush the Bruins so that Rich has to eat his words.
The Blues.
See, I don't think they're wrong, though, which is the funny thing. Like, I think a lot of Bruins fans are underestimating the Blues because they haven't seen them. They see the little stat about how they were the worst team in the leagues and to start January. I don't think that they are fully... I think they're going to be surprised at what they see.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be really fun.
Coming out of the West is no fluke either.
No, not who they beat either. They beat probably three of the top teams in the West. And it took them a while to do it, but they did it.
And Aaron did it again with the bumper music. Love it. Kid, you kill it. Everything like this. It's pock. It's like you're pulling these songs out of my Spotify.
Just sprinkling a little pock on the show.
Oh.
Go to a radio show. Dance concert breaks out.
I'm not dancing. I'm just like, the music is flowing through me.
Just a little California love.
Yeah.
Sprinkle that
on there. C-O-M-P-T-O-N, the city of Compton, Long Beach. Where you at?
About as far from Burlington as you can get.
Oh.
In every way.
We're cruising in to the end of the show here. Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. Don't go anywhere. There's still time left.
You better crank up that AC because Sports Saturday is about to bring the heat. It's Hot or Not on 101.3 The Game.
And now everybody's dancing. Look at this.
I don't feel like whistling works with this song.
I whistle to all songs. It's. I mean, come on. Cut me some slack.
No.
I'm the host.
No.
I'm the host.
No.
It's Sports Saturday, 101.3 The Game. Aaron, we're talking cupcakes a little while ago.
Ooh, hot or not time.
Yeah. Hot or not. You got some cupcakes here?
Oh, no? I wish. I just got a cupcake read here.
Oh, that's like that's such a tease.
I want cupcakes.
You did a bad thing bringing up cupcakes around Lauren right now.
Oh, you did. You really did.
Well, if you want some cupcakes, you can just hit up our friends at Superb Cupcakes. Stop by Superb Cupcakes in the Taft Corner Shopping Center in Williston. They've got the best cupcakes around. They do not disappoint, offering over 100 flavors of regular and mini cupcakes made from scratch daily. No box mix here. Make your day superb.
Superb Cupcakes.
I wonder if they have red velvet cupcakes.
I bet they do.
With cream cheese frosting?
You can imagine it, I think the thing is they probably make
it. Maybe I'll drive out to Williston later.
And check on Ramontos for Jeff.
Oh, yeah. I'll send a picture.
Make sure it's there.
Yeah, make sure. Make sure it doesn't burn down.
Yeah. But speaking of burning, hot or not, dude.
Look at that
hot
transition.
Hot or not. That was a transition.
That's how we do them.
All right. Get ready to get angry.
Okay.
Memorial Day is the best holiday.
No.
Doesn't even have a meal.
Thanksgiving. That's such a strong wrong take.
It's courtesy of our friend Brady Farkas.
I think the best one is Thanksgiving. Yeah, I would.
Food.
Yeah, you get the meal, you get the leftovers. You generally get the long weekend. You don't have to go anywhere. Yeah.
Is it weird that my favorite is Halloween?
No.
Yes. Yes.
You get free candy. It's like the whole thing.
I love horror movies and thriller movies. I love the vibe. I love the color scheme of the orange and the black and all that. I love sweets. So
plus it's fall, which is obviously the best season.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I'd almost say I prefer Labor Day to Memorial Day.
I feel like Labor Day is like a bigger barbecue day. Am I wrong about that?
No, I think Memorial Day is pretty big barbecue day.
I mean, July 4th is obviously the biggest barbecue day, so they lose. Yeah.
But Memorial Day breaks you in for summer. That's like, okay, summer's here, let's go.
I feel like we'd be more high on Memorial Day in this part of the world if it was warmer on Memorial Day.
If it was bankably warmer, yeah.
Yeah, we never quite know what we're going to get.
Right.
We might get thunderstorms on Monday.
Or what was it, 4 or 5 years ago, it was like 40 degrees?
Yeah. Or it could be 80. Who knows?
Yeah.
It's Vermont, man.
I feel like all the fun things about Memorial Day are just things you do on like a Sunday during the summer anyway.
Yeah.
So like cook a couple hot dogs.
Go to the beach, maybe.
Right. You just do nice weather stuff.
Do not go in Lake Champlain.
Whereas like Labor Day, you're savoring it because you know, okay, you got school going. It was sort of back to normal. Summer's dying. It's going to get colder. Like it's more special.
Yeah. And not like, take. Horrible take.
And then like Thanksgiving is basically, if you did this more than once a year, you'd be at risk of serious heart issues.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
my family starts planning our Thanksgiving menu like months in advance.
Thankfully, a lot of places do the Thanksgiving on a sandwich.
Oh yeah,
year
that's
round.
True.
So
that's
like
true.
we got that going.
Oh, now I kind of want one of those too. I'm apparently hungry. I didn't really eat much breakfast. Now I want cupcakes and Thanksgiving sandwiches.
Okay. I don't think you can get those all in the same place.
No,
but
no.
Good luck.
I'll figure it out.
What's next?
Klay Thompson is a first team All NBA guard.
No.
No. Like no.
I don't know much about the NBA or basketball in general, but I think I'm even on the no train on that.
First team All NBA. I mean, what are we looking at? We're looking at Steph, Harden, Kawhi, Giannis. Who's the fifth? KD? Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
There we go. I just like Klay can be as good as those guys, but he's not better than those guys.
No.
And you'd have to be to supplant one of them on that team. So, no.
He was very unhappy. He was asked about it during press conference. He gave an eye roll and said, I think I'm better than a lot of the guys in the NBA.
Well, it probably cost him a lot of money.
It did, actually. It cost him a supermax.
Yeah.
Oh.
So that's why he's mad. It's not because he thinks he's as good. It's because he just wants the money.
So he's,
which, to be fair, I'd want the money too.
So he's an unhappy rich guy, not an unhappy supermax rich guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was.
Those were the problems to have.
I mean, he did. He also said that he felt like he was good enough to be first team, but it's like, well, then you need to go find a team where you're the best guy, because I mean, a lot of these guys, they are the highlight of their team, so they get
right.
more looks, they get
yeah.
to be the star. Like,
I mean,
that's James Harden, that's what he does.
Yeah,
I mean, look at what the Giannis and Kawhi are doing, or
Kawhi and Giannis.
Woo! I don't watch the NBA.
Can you do Giannis's last name?
No.
Antetokounmpo?
No, god,
oh,
no.
Oh yeah.
Well, Giannis, Greek freak.
Look like what they're both doing in the playoffs right now. They're essentially carrying their teams. One of them will carry their teams to the final.
I'd be curious who's the last third fiddle on his team to make the first team, you know, All-NBA.
Oh, man. That's probably like Ron Artest at some point. Like, or that would have just been like All-NBA defense or something
yeah,
like that.
Not the first team All-NBA. Like, yeah, it doesn't happen. Like, you can have one and two, but not one, two, and three.
Yeah.
It's just not, no.
All right. Kyrie will play with LeBron again.
I'm thinking that might actually happen.
Yeah.
He's spending a lot of time out in LA. Kyrie is.
LeBron's liking pictures of him in a LA jersey.
That's not the craziest thing. I'm sort of on board with that.
I mean, like, where else would Kyrie go? New York.
Punch his own
maybe,
ticket.
Maybe, if they don't get AD, right?
Yeah. New York's one of the places he's been looking at.
Yeah.
He could go. Could he go to the Pelicans in a trade, since he's the Rose contract that keeps them from getting AD?
I have no idea.
I don't know. But I despite how it ended between him and LeBron, I wouldn't put it past them.
Especially since I think he's learned, he's quote unquote learned, he's becoming like the next LeBron leader, but he's seen that, he said that it's hard and that he talked to LeBron, and so I think in his own mind he's squashed the beef.
Yeah.
Even though I think a lot of people look at both of them and are like, ah, you guys are just jerks.
Yeah. Oh, well.
All right.
What's next?
Courtesy of Drake.
Drake.
Kawhi is the best player in the NBA.
Drake would say that.
I mean, he's got to build this guy up so we'll stay in Toronto. So.
As far as a Drake take, yeah, I'm hot on, like, that sounds like a very on-brand take for Drake.
I don't think it's the worst take in the world. I mean, the way he's playing right now, he's not the best guy, but he's clearly climbing the ranks very quickly.
He's on that very short list.
Yeah, he's in the conversation. And he's younger than LeBron.
True. Yeah.
So
you look at it, I mean,
it's not the worst take in the world.
those guys we rattled off for the NBA first team All-NBA, depending on the night, one of those guys is going to be better than the other.
I think what's kept him behind Giannis most of the time that they've been talked about as like the two top guys has been that Giannis is a better offensive player in terms of scoring just generally.
How do you stop him?
Not in this series. Kawhi is putting up like 40, 30 night after night.
And he's doing on the defensive end too.
He's still the best defensive player in the world.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you could probably talk me into that take.
Okay.
My very little NBA knowledge, obviously.
That's okay.
So I'm easily talked into.
Okay. So we're a little consensus there. That's that doesn't reside in Crazy Town.
Yeah, it's not
if it wasn't Drake saying it, I might take it a little more seriously.
Right. Right.
Yeah. He came out. He was like, we got the best fans in the world. We got the best player in the world. And it's like, okay. Yeah. You're a homer.
Yeah.
Big homer.
I mean, and we did know that about Drake.
True.
It was not a surprise.
All right. Brooks Koepka is the future of the PGA Tour, not Jordan Spieth.
I have no idea.
So,
yeah, I'm lost.
I've
golf.
I've luxuriated in some of the post PGA Championship coverage and takes and all those things. Yeah, they moved it from August to May.
Oh, so it was last week. That's why I'm all tossed up.
So he won the PGA for the second time in a row. He's the first guy to have defended two different championships at the same time.
Yeah.
So he's won the last two U.S. Opens in the last two.
Didn't he almost blow
PGAs?
It, though?
It started to slip away, but he hung on, won by two over Dustin Johnson. I will say if they continue to set up major championship venues as they have, like with Bethpage Black last week, there's a very good chance, yes, that all of a sudden Brooks Koepka, who hits the ball a mile, looks like he should probably play a different sport. Very muscle bound, jacked, wearing a medium shirt.
Not the John Daly model?
No.
He should be DHing somewhere.
If they keep making courses that have like, you know, knee high rough, 25 yard fairways, like 25 yards wide.
Yeah.
And just miles long, that's good. It eliminates the field. So there's only certain people that can win it. And if he's currently one of those few people that can win on a course like that, it's possible. I think so. Like if they want to set up these major championship venues differently, then I think that opens the door for a lot more guys. Yes, he very well could be the future of the PGA Tour.
I defer to you.
Okay.
You're the expert.
I needed to get some golf off my
head. Yeah, that's fine. I tried to play golf once and it ended not well.
Sometimes it doesn't end well when you play golf a lot.
I almost threw my clubs and they're not mine.
All right. Well, that's it for Hot or Not. We're going to come back, get some brass monkeys, put a bow on the show, right off into the spring sunshine. 101.3 The Game, Sports Saturday, back after this.
I hate to say it, but the show is almost over. But before we go, we'll get the brass monkeys bumping and get you ready for your sports weekend. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Brass monkeys on a Saturday mean we're at the end of the show.
Aw.
Yeah. Single tier.
Not even.
How do you feel about your debut, Lauren?
Not bad. I didn't swear, so that was good.
Yeah.
I mean, it was always a question mark, really.
I did have to brief you as we walked through the door. Hey, so what, like, that's your last swear for the next 2 hours?
Yeah.
Two plus.
So far, I've made it.
So you're looking at about a minute and 20 seconds before you can swear again.
I think I can do it.
We've made it this far. We can do it. Aaron, how would you grade today's show?
Oh, man. A+ as always.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'll take that.
Start the weekend off with an A.
Is this a weighted curve? Like, are we, did someone else, like, did everybody do badly enough that we're all become A's by proxy?
Clearly no idea what a curve is.
I've heard the term. I didn't understand the concept well enough to say.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, everyone else was, I mean, Jeff's like usually rocking steady 40s, so you pulled out, you know, like a 65, 70.
Okay, cool.
That's passing.
I'll class. Take that.
That's a passing grade.
I mean, we talked Thrones.
Gotta love
it. We talked Bruins. Woo! With Fluto Shinzawa of The Athletic. We talked some high school sports with Tim Albertson, head coach of the CVU baseball team, going to be the number one seed going into next week's Division I tournament. And we talked some UVM stuff, too, on 101.3 The Game Sports Saturday. Living the dream and taking you with us. Have a great weekend, everybody.